Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. How are you, Kurt?
Do you want to say it, Chris, or do you?
We
want
are
to
recording join? The episode for the second time because I forgot to press record. Yes, done, said like a band-aid. Anyway, moving on. How's the market, Kurt? Your favourite question. We're in the month of July, which is one of our. We always start the month with an episode on the month that was or the month that is. And we love that dreaded question from everyone always asks you and I, How's the market?
Market's better than your recording ability. Yeah. No, let's move on.
You always say, it'd be better if I had more houses?
Oh, yeah. The saying is, if someone asks me that, I'm always like, if I had more, I'd sell more.
If I had more, I'd sell more.
If I had more buyers,
I'd buy more.
If you're a seller, I think it's a brilliant time to be selling.
Yep.
And I think if you're a buyer, it's still a brilliant time to be buying. I think it's a...
Can't be both, Kurt. Come on.
Because I think properties are genuinely selling for value, for what they're actually worth. The market is slowly moving up, but if you ask a buyer in 5 years' time if they wish I had a bought now...
Yeah, but that's the same as 5 years ago. Like, yeah. You know, that's sort of... It's always been the case. Is it always going to be? Who knows?
I think the advantage is slightly with the sellers, as long as it's priced correctly. But if you've got a unit and you've got strata issues... That can be a nightmare.
I'm seeing diabolical stuff. Look, I think from my standpoint, seeing, you know, there's properties, there's not a low number of properties on the market in terms of listings, but the traditional two-bedroom apartments or the three-bedroom townhouses or the three- to four-bedroom houses, there's less of those. What we're seeing is some five-bedroom houses, seeing some one-bedroom apartments, seeing some two-bedroom townhouses. So the number of listings doesn't feel overall low, but the key sort of areas that people are buying a bit lacking, which means, you know, buyers sort of pent up and looking for things and seeing if they do see something, they want to move.
Well, I was going to say, regardless of if it's with buyer's agents or even pent up buyers with pent up energy that are just buying by themselves, we're actually noticing we're doing a number of transactions, a higher percentage off market than on market.
Yeah, roughly how many?
Let's call it 15%.
15, okay, yep. Fair enough, 15%.
It's wild. What buyers are willing to pay off market or pre-market, whatever you want to call it, is astounding.
And I think if our listeners have, you know, followed the journey here, you're quite often been quite adamant in the past saying you shouldn't sell via off market, do full on market, do a full campaign, have the auction go through.
I'd probably tweak it slightly different.
Oh, I'm not surprised because you're selling more off market. Of course you're going to tweak it.
No. As in, for us, it's always you plan from, like, whether it's off market, pre-market, going on the campaign. Like, you always plan that.
Yep.
I don't agree with people being like, we can sell it and only plan to sell off market.
Right, okay, yeah.
It's you should have the intention to need to go to auction or beyond if needed to get the right price. And you still always run the risk. However, the question we ask in a negotiation point of view, is this offer repeatable? And we've got to the point where before we even need to push go, the offer is unbelievable. And it's like...
Yeah, and I think that's an element of that pent up buyers. And I think you're right, even if it goes to auction, it's probably going to still at the same level. Because I think there's an element of the buyers going, right, if we can get in early, pre-market, off-market, get a deal done, even if we have to pay a little bit more than we'd ideally feel comfortable doing so, well, it means we're off the merry-go-round. It means we don't have to wait 4 weeks for the auction date to go, you know, come up and come through. Mm-hmm. We can now plan to do what we need to do. And like you said, if the price is right in terms of from a vendor standpoint, then the property gets sold.
Yep. So, yeah.
Sort of fait accompli to some degree. You know, it's interesting, though, there is that buyer, you know, looking, trying to find opportunities and just unearth, you know, where properties are coming from. And I think from my standpoint, I sit there going, well, there's a rate cut likely coming and there's probably another two for the year, which start of the year I predicted maybe one rate cut. This year might be four overall. Right now, we're not seeing a lot of listings. We're seeing some decent number of buyers. My take for the second half of the year is with those rates coming down, we're going to see more properties come for sale, more vendors be happy to sell. And then we'll see a bit more equilibrium in terms of the buyer and the seller because there'll be more options there for buyers we're looking at. Whereas right now, that two-bedroom apartment, the three-bedroom townhouse, the three- or four-bedroom house is relatively, not scarce, but less voluminous than what it has been.
Yeah.
You agree or disagree?
I think it depends. I think we're expecting an influx in spring, like the first month of spring, which September.
Correct, yeah.
So 8 weeks away? I've... have a little hot take. I don't think it's going to be as hot for as long as people think it is in terms of properties coming to the market. So I think there might be a little bit of a kickoff in the first or second week of spring. But I don't think there's going to be as many properties as what people are hoping for.
As what they sort of dream of on. Okay, nice. Well, I think that's pretty hot take. Anything else for the month of July to sort of cover off?
No, I think that's pretty good. Any news from you?
No. I think that's bang on the money.
Bang on the money.
Let's go. All right, I've got a bit of a game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Flow through. This is a game, new game for us this week.
Yep.
Famous or friend.
Okay.
All right, so I've got three scenarios for you with these people. They're not A-grade celebrities. We're talking like the Bs or Cs, maybe even D-grade level. No disrespect to them.
Yep.
And you've got to determine, are they famous? Are they that person? Or are they one of Chris's friends?
You asking the same questions as you did for the first go? So I can get 100%?
No, I'm not. But they are somewhat linked in a way. So we had a question about Caitlin Clark when we did the mock through.
Yep.
And you did make a big statement. You said she's going to be the Michael Jordan of basketball, the women's basketball. I do agree with. I think she's amazing. So Caitlin Clark plays for the Indiana Fever. There's recently a bit of a scuffle, a bit of a fight, a bit of back and forth.
We all love that.
And a little bit of, and she was protected by her teammate Sophie Glover. Is Sophie Glover the teammate's name, or is it one of Chris's friends?
It is one of Chris's friends because I'm pretty sure it's Sophie Cunningham.
Oh, bang on! Well done. It is indeed. I can't.
Honestly, that got. I was going to say, you cheeky bugger. You've used a Sophie that you know, because I was like,
yeah, I had to use a Sophie because I figured you would know this scenario, wouldn't you? All right, nice one. Well, the F1 movie's about to come out, and obviously that is, you know, all been spruced. There's Brad Pitt, and it's obviously I'm not going to say Brad Pitt's friend or famous. You know that one, but the director is of course Steve Harland. He's up there.
That's your friend.
Damn, he's two. No good. Okay, we're going to go back to one of my favorite ones. We're going to go back to the number one draft picks in the NBA over the time. And we're dusting ourselves off to 1976 here. Yeah, Houston Rockets had the pick.
You were what, 42 back then?
And they picked up a youthful gentleman, the name of Scott Morgan.
Friend.
Got them all this week. That's so annoying. In the mock three, you at least missed one.
I don't know why when you like Scott Morgan, I was like,
I thought if I just...
I don't know why I was thinking Larry Bird.
No, we're going with him. No, there was actually John Lucas was the actual name. And the director for the F1 movie was Joseph Kaczynski. I think that's how I pronounce his name. Maybe I've done it badly.
I think if you had said Joseph, that I would have been like, yeah, I reckon it is.
Yeah, maybe I should first name the same, last name. Anyway, what's the homework for the week as we wrap things up?
Please share this episode to when you click on share. It will provide options. Look at your top three people and share it to 1, 2, 3.
Yep, we're on Spotify as always, been on YouTube forever, and now we're also on Apple Podcast.
Chris, quick question.
How long
does it take two blokes to upload your podcast to Apple Music? It
takes about 83 episodes.
Yeah.
We finally got it working. But the good thing is when we got up there, it did run through our back catalogue also, magically all appeared in Apple. So you can go back and listen to the first episode all the way through to the Car On, which is our recommendation. So if you've jumped in here, thank you. Welcome aboard.
Yep, perfect.
Go back to episode number one and enjoy the journey. Thanks for dropping by.